America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
The entire world watched.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And humanity saw that the sky was not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't he be my neighbor?
My neighbor?
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship, hoping we would too. Friendship, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Get off the grid and step inside your heart. Sister Jenna guides you through a powerful, encouraging, and motivating meditation that allows you to let go and become aware of you, regain strength, power, and peace.
Hi, my name is Missy Crutchfield with Gandhi's Bee Magazine, an online magazine designed to raise awareness and inspire people about all of the amazing things happening in the world, as well as all the challenging things that can help us raise awareness so we can make a difference in the world and be the change. One of my inspirations is Sister Jenna and America Meditating Radio. I listen, you should too. The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
Behind. Ooh, dream weaver,
Welcome, everyone, to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was Gary Wright. Remember back in the days, Dreamweaver, one of our all-time favorites. You might see them a lot in, like, Adam Sandler's movies and all of these really quirky movies when they're creating a moment, you know, of love. But for me, that song is just about making your heart feel much better and elevating you to the heights, you know. Well, I hope that this day finds you in a good spirit, in a space of kindness and truth and power. And even if it doesn't, aren't you ready to get into that zone of your own inner being? That place where you know it's the right place, the place that really attracts your fortune and your sense of purpose. I think it's fine for us to all act like we're still teenagers growing in life and still trying to figure it out. But I was having a discussion with someone the other day, and we were saying, how much more time do we need to get this thing right? You know, you can only hold hate in your heart for so long. You can only question why there's famine. You can only wonder, why is it that world leaders continue to go to war when all they need to do is dialogue and find a way and resolve, you know? There are reasons behind all of this. It's the recording of the soul. It's the energy that we are holding. It's the entropy in the nature, like how here in the East Coast we're going through winter, but on another area of the world it's warm, it's hot. And so it's like everything has its own season, and I think perhaps we're really trying to move into an age of consciousness where it'll all be so unified, so in order, so in sync. And so we're going to need to advocate the virtue of patience, because we're all currently just on a different wavelength. And little by little, as we keep having conversations like we do on the America Meditating Radio and on Super Soul Sunday with Oprah Winfrey and on all of these talk shows or programs that are amplifying the importance of your own personal attention on yourself, we will walk into an age of intuition, age in which our frequency is at a higher level, and what we call in Hinduism Satyug, the golden age, the age where human beings have worked on themselves, so now they've got their self-worth back, and they're in their zone, and no one's really trying to get over on another, and no one's trying to get something from another. We've already gotten what we wanted for ourselves with our own effort and our own attention and our own care. Stay tuned. We're going to have the healing pain master, Peter Bedard, with us. And Peter and I are going to be taking you through a journey of conversation and look at pain and perhaps the source of where the pain comes from and how we can get out of that zone and become free from that. Before I get Peter on the air, I'd like us to do what we do best here on the America Meditating Radio, and that is to meditate. To take some time to create the kinds of thoughts that are really important within our own being. Why don't we look at a little bit of acceptance today? Take a deep breath, inhale, exhale, and let's accept where we are and who we are.
Acceptance is moving on. I sit here in this present moment and pause to become still on the inside, gently. I allow the situation in my life currently to find the space of acceptance as it naturally emerges. I acknowledge the experience as part of the soul's journey, and all experiences of life have brought me here to this very moment of inner acceptance. I accept. I let go. And I know I cannot change the past. In my acceptance, my heart expands and I'm opened to invite more love into my present and for my future. I am not trapped in the pain or unfulfilled expectations, but I'm free. I'm free to move on, and I trust the lesson learned as I embrace the fruit of experience. I, the soul, remain grateful. I accept, I breathe, I move on with gentle acceptance. I am healed.
My life is a good life. Ashe, ashe, my life is good.
Love that. Ashe Ashe from Ricky Byers Beckwith from Agape in beautiful Southern California. I love that song. Ashe Ashe. I remember when I first went into their sanctuary, it was such an interesting time for me, folks. It was really a rough high seas. And that song was performed by Ricky, and it just shifted everything inside of my being. Thank you so much, Agape. Today with Master of Arts degree, we've got the wonderful Peter Bedard. He's got a master's degree of arts, rather, in consciousness studies and his extensive training in hypnotherapy and alternative health. Peter has helped thousands of people overcome pain and the fearful shadow it has cast over their lives. Peter has a thriving one-on-one private practice in Los Angeles, California, and he gives talks and workshops around the globe. His new book is entitled Convergence Healing, Healing Pain with Energetic Love. Peter invites us to look at our pain as the greatest source of wisdom we will ever have. And today we welcome Peter Bedard to the America Meditating Radio Show. Hi, Peter. Welcome.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. What a fantastic opening, because I'm a huge fan of Ricky Byers Beckwith, and the whole acceptance part is just such an important step or process in the healing world. So I'm thrilled at what I got to hear in listening to you.
Thank you, Peter. I really love the Beckwiths a lot. And, you know, our life is such a journey. And I think when we can start to explain our lives, or let me just say, share our lives with others, it tends to help us to move into bigger places. And I know that at 17 years old, you had quite an experience. They call it NDEs, near-death experiences. And that shifted a lot in you, didn't it?
It did, but unlike a lot of people who have these type of experiences, they come back full of joy. I came back full of rage.
You're kidding me. You're the first person I've ever heard say that. You've got to tell me more.
Oh, absolutely. I was pissed off.
Wow, so, I love it.
I was just a kid, and I had a big event that I wasn't allowed to go to because my parents didn't want me to. And I was almost 18, and I felt that I've been a good kid, and my parents should trust me, and I should be able to go. But I lost that argument, and I was respecting my parents' wishes. I was driving home on my moped. I was very, very angry, and somebody pushed me on and came up behind me, hit my back tire, and pushed me into a parked semi-truck. And I had my death experience, and I went to the other side, and there was nobody there. That was the most blissful, happiest experience I could ever imagine. It was amazing. I jokingly say this, but I really, truly mean it, especially to really share this information for people who may be afraid of death. Death was the most beautiful, amazing, incredible, happy, joyous, blissful experience that I've ever had. It went beyond anything that I've ever experienced even since. And it's something to look forward to. So, you know, if there's people that have a fear of death, please hear that and know that, you know, when you get back into that place of love, it just permeates every pore of your being. I was on the other side, and I was confused because there was nobody there, and suddenly...
You're kidding me. There's always, Peter, there's always somebody on the other side. What are you telling me?
No, there was nobody there when I got there. And I was very curious about that. And I thought, well, shouldn't there be someone like my great-grandmother or my dead dog or, you know. But it didn't take away from my bliss. I was just curious about it. And then suddenly I saw a person, and it was a man, and I felt this amazing, tremendous love beyond any kind of love you could ever experience. You know, it was just incredible. And he looked like sort of a Lao Tzu kind of character, like he had a Fu Manchu kind of beard, and he was amazing. He looked like he was probably wearing like a tweed suit from Hong Kong, China, back in the 1800s or something like that.
I love your visions.
But he, pardon me?
I love your visions. They're the best.
But he said to me, he said, "You're not supposed to be here." And then he said, "You need to go." And it wasn't that he was being mean or cruel, but my adolescent brain felt like I was getting kicked out of heaven. And what he really was just telling me, it wasn't my time. But because of that experience, I actually believe in accidents. And so it's kind of funny to have, you know, to be in heaven and then to come back. And I was extremely angry, because all that anger came back to me, and I left heaven or wherever this place was. And I came back to this place, and I was furious. I felt that I had been rejected.
Wow, what a story. And in that feeling of rejection, would you say that you were living that as a reality even prior to the near-death experience, and that sort of perhaps highlighted it for you growing up?
Absolutely. You hit it on the nose. I felt that I didn't fit in anywhere. And so to take that to an even deeper level of now I don't fit in heaven, even God doesn't want me, that was a pretty big blow at the time.
Sure. Now, all that has changed because now you've released your new book. Congratulations. Convergence.
Thank you. It's super
healing.
Exciting.
Exactly. And in it, you're discussing an empowering process to heal. You know, chronic pain is something that can be physical, Peter, but it also can be just emotional, such as feeling I don't fit in anywhere that I go is also another form of pain, but we just might not
Absolutely.
Be aware of it. So how did it happen? And tell me a little bit about convergence healing. What is that about?
Well, convergence healing came about through having to heal myself. And I do address pain and believe pain exists on all levels. When we experience pain on the physical level, oftentimes our heart is broken. You know, if you take the experience of an athlete and he or she harms themselves, or they break a bone or something of that sort, their heart is heavy with the disappointment of not being able to finish the season, and their mind may feel very upset and agitated because they're not there to support their team in the way they want to be. And the same on the spiritual level, when our heart is broken
as mine was, where I felt I got rejected and kicked out of heaven, then there are physical responses that happen to that. And we feel that weight. We feel that broken heart. And so the convergence healing process really came about of me having to heal myself. I had fibromyalgia and arthritis and asthma. I obviously came back from this death experience. I had chronic pain for years. I had to learn how to walk again. I had deep depression and anxiety. And I had to cure myself of things that Western medicine only offered drugs and surgeries for, which were great. They put me back together, but they didn't address that broken heart. And they didn't address my mind and how my mind had been trapped in this miserable cycle. I call it the addiction loop, where the mind just gets trapped in those repetitive thoughts of abuse and anger. And that's why when I found out it was going to be on your show, I was so excited, because meditating is such a powerful experience that helps heal on every level of our being.
That's very true. And I'm a strong, supporter of bringing that awareness to people, because if we're not reflecting and coming from a deeper place of our own existence, the healing cannot happen. Now, it's estimated that over 100 million adults, that's a lot of people in the world, that's suffering from some kind of chronic pain. Why are people, Peter, what's your understanding of this pain factor that people are going through, and it seems almost as if we're getting so used to it that we will only turn to prescribed drugs to try to heal it when we know it's something so much more deeper?
Absolutely. And, if the pain is so severe that you need an antidepressant or something like that to take the edge off, great. But the problem is that we become reliant upon those things, and then we don't actually deal with the issue that's causing the pain. And so one of my big things is to ask people to stop and tune into their pain, actually even make their pain their best friend and embrace it. The sooner they embrace their pain, the sooner they actually learn to love their pain, the sooner it can heal and it can actually be released from them. That may sound a little sort of opposite of what our modern world does. Our modern world is always concerned with pushing the pain away, whether it's through a drug or whether it's through just denial, and we shove it down and we say we can't deal with it, or we don't have time for it, or whatever it is. And all that does is leave the pain to last longer. When we allow ourselves to embrace it, because if you think of the pain as a representative, a part of you, let's say you were representative for this moment, is to visualize it as my pain, and you were a part of me that was hurting, and I spoke to you like most people speak to your pain, you would hang up the phone on me. At least I'd hope you would, because it's so abusive. We say horrible things to these parts of us that are hurting. We say, I don't want you, I hate you, I wish you'd go away, I'm ashamed of you, right? We want to drug it and cut it out and throw it away. And I know that if I actually said, you know what, Jenna, Sister Jenna, you're hurting, and I so feel that, and I'm so sorry for that, and I love you, then it's so much easier to heal, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's hard for us to be honest, Peter. A lot of us are walking around with veils and masks and illusions, and our world supports that. The world says it's okay to put up a front. It's okay to take a drug. The world says it's okay to not really look at a deeper aspect of yourself. So what would be your recommendation in amplifying for our listeners a process and how we can be a little bit more honest with what we're going through and how to address it?
Well, one of the ways is to quiet the mind. I have a little 10-point process that I've created out of my own healing that I now do with my clients. And that's why I loved what you were talking about at the very beginning of the show with acceptance. I call it stepping out of the fog, and acceptance is part of that process of first just accepting where you are, how you are, what life is like for yourself. You don't have to like it. It's just about accepting it, acknowledging it. And when you do that, then you move into the captain's seat of the soul or the heart, where from that place, when you settle into the heart and that love in the heart, then everything can calm down and you can actually make conscious decisions about where you want to go and what to do next. You release that victim kind of mentality, like I had to do against, somebody slammed me into the back of a semi-truck. And society really encouraged me to live in that pain experience and to blame that person for what happened to my life. If I continued to do that, I wouldn't be able to help all the people I've been able to help, because I would have been so trapped in my own misery. And so when I actually accepted that, stepped out of the fog, took responsibility for my own life,
So this is my life, my breath, my body. I'm in charge of this. I stepped into that seat of the soul where I could just really be in charge and call the shots from a place of love and decide where I want to go and what I want to do next. Then we can actually pop all of those masks you were talking about, because they're no longer needed to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we embrace that pain and we learn to love it, we can hear the message that it has to share with us. And that's what I do with a lot of my clients. I ask people to tune in and actually personify the pain, make it take on a shape, a form of some sort, even name it, so that it's easier to love, because when something is personified, we can understand it easier. And so from there, we really just begin a dialogue. We begin to talk to these parts of us that are in pain. You know, our bodies are always communicating with us, and we're always talking at it. And there's a time where we need to stop and breathe and be and actually listen to it and what it wants to heal and what it needs in order to feel better.
It makes sense. You know, after culminating a lot of our conversations, and maybe you could confirm this as well, are you saying that really for many of us in our world, one of the reasons why we're walking around as containers of pain and fear, is that we're really not having the right dialogue in our minds or the right narrative in our minds, and perhaps we're not asking ourselves the right question to heal, so we're just walking around in, whether it's spiritual pain or physical pain, because we're not having the right conversation.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And we don't know what conversation to have. And oftentimes these conversations are mostly subconscious. They're just on that survival level of, you know, how do I get through this instead of how do I love this? And so I ask people to ask the part of them that's in pain three very important questions. And they're very simple. But think of your pain as sort of a 17-year-old that's really messing up. And he or she is, you know, in detention, and the principal's pointing the finger and telling them what to do, and their parents are telling them what to do, and their friends are telling them what to do, and the teachers. Nobody bothers to ask the kid what the kid needs in order to get better.
Right.
And so that's what we do. We go to the source, and instead, most of us just pay attention to the problem. We don't actually go underneath, like, what the problem is about. And so I call that fear 1.0, where, you know, fear 1.0 is, and true fear is, there's a danger right there in front of you. And 2.0 is the assumption of fear. It's that expectation. And most of us get trapped in that expectation of the pain and that expectation of the fear. We don't listen to it and ask it what it needs. So these three questions. The first one is, what do you need pain in order for me, us, to feel better on the physical level? What can I do physically that's going to bring about and encourage your healing? Maybe it's dancing, hugging a tree, doing something physical in the world, even eating a particular way, exercising, doing something that is actually a physical body type of thing. Then the next question is, what do we need to do on that mind, that thought level, like you talked about, like on this level of how we perceive ourselves in the world, what our mind is doing. And we generally, our thoughts have contributed to our pain. How we think about ourselves in pain, or obsessive experiences and fear of living in pain, when we can actually pull back and use our minds for something else, when we could put our mind, even if it, your mind is being hijacked, if you watch stupid cat videos, it's going to break that pattern of fear, because your mind can't be in faith and in fear at the same time. So when we challenge that, you say, okay, all I'm thinking right now is obsessive, abusive, painful thoughts. Well, what if I started thinking about rainbows and unicorns? What if I became obsessed instead of with my pain, with my laughter or with joy or something of that? And the same on the level of spirit, asking on that level of connecting with the universe, with nature, with oneness, what can I do, pain, in order to heal you, to help you feel better? And for me, that was actually gardening. It was getting my hands dirty. It was cutting and pruning and working in with the earth. That actually created such a sense of calm and peace in me that all those obsessive thoughts and all that fear and worry and even the pain, I forgot about it for a while. Thank you.
Great advice, because it's needed.
When we work on all these levels, that's one thing I discovered, too, is if we only address a particular issue on the level of mind or or spirit or body, often things become unbalanced and we don't heal. Like, take example, mm-hmm. something really basic such as weight loss. Oftentimes people only work on the level of body and they diet and exercise. But if their mind continues to perceive themselves as the fat kid and their heart continues to feel the experience of being rejected and unloved, most likely they're just going to yo-yo in their weight and they're going to come right back to the problem. Whereas if we could get them to, yes, do the diet and exercise work, but actually start thinking of themselves and perceiving themselves as healthy and maybe the body type that's right, that's healthy for them. And then on the spirit level, you know, we can help their heart heal that wound of being rejected, then they're most likely going to heal. And I see this with my clients over and over and over again.
Beautiful. Well said, Peter. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It's very, very important, very important. Leave us with a website that our listeners can get in touch with you or get a copy of the book. And I'm going to ask you one big, big question. If you were to change the world at this time in your life, how would you do it?
Okay. So my website is convergencehealing.com, and the title of the book is Convergence Healing, Healing Pain with Energetic Love. It just became number one in pain management and in spiritual books on Amazon, which is super, super exciting.
Congratulations.
And the thought, thank you. It's super. For a first book, and this is just a dream come true. Thank you so much. I'd like to leave everybody with this idea of embracing the pain and the acceptance. And Rumi, one of my favorite poets, said, the cure for the pain is in the pain. And when we stop and we breathe and we embrace the pain and we turn towards it, and instead of running away from it and just spinning our wheels, when we actually begin a dialogue with it and ask it what it needs, it would be a beautiful thing if the world did this, even on a political level. Just took a moment to stop, turn towards the pain instead of cutting it out, throwing away, bombing it. We just actually created a dialogue of love within us and without of outside of us, with those around us. The world would just elevate to a higher and higher level. So I'm
Beautiful.
Inviting people to do that.
Beautiful. Did you leave us with a website?
Sure. It's, again, it's Convergence Healing, Convergence, convergencehealing.com. I also have a healing tea business online where people can order really great herbal teas to help them feel better, and that's cyhteas.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. Peter Bedard, thank you so much for making us pain-free.
Thank you, sister.
Take care, Peter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So are we ready to go at the core, at the root of where the pain is coming from? And in the pain is the healing. I loved that. Gosh, Rumi was amazing. Hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Peter Bedard. Please go to convergencehealing.com. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We are here to love each other the same, everyone. So let's do that. I'll end today's show with Kristen Hoffman. And please don't forget to go to Huffington Post and Google yours truly, Sister Jenna. And let's go together on this journey. As they say in common language, they follow me, but I would more like to invite you, let's heart each other together and let's journey together. I think some of these articles that are emerging in the early morning hours have been very meaningful for me, and hopefully they will also be life-changing for you. Thanks a lot. Again, here's Kristen Hoffman from Between the Veils.
And then the sirens scream through the air.
fresh aquarium straight through your heart, wanting you back. And then the tears fall like signals and smoke, calling you back to the night. Feel the whispers tangle your soul, wanting you back. Don't you bring me back. Oh, oh, don't bring me back. Cover me.